Well, good morning. And we do want to encourage you to invite your family and friends September the 8th to this new series called Wisdom. You know, you and I don't have enough time to learn from all of our mistakes. Would you agree with me? So we need to be able to get it right the first time. And we're going to look at how you and I can be able to grow in life and also in wisdom. So we encourage you to invite your family and friends. That is September the 8th. Now, we've been in a series called Move, and here's what I've been saying, that we're all moved. There's certain things that move us. Some of us might have been moved through the songs this morning, but you're moved. The question is, are we being moved in the right direction? In the right direction. And here's how we can assure that we're being moved in the right direction. I've been saying this for 3 weeks. When you see as God sees, you will do as God says. And so when you see as God sees, you will be moved to compassion. And compassion is more than sympathy. Sympathy means that I just see that you're having a tough time, and I identify with that. Compassion means that I have the courage and I'm willing to take the risk to alleviate your pain, your hurt, your sorrow. And so when you see as God sees, you will be moved to compassion. And then we learn that when you see as God sees, we will move together, because we will realize that there's so many people who are hurting and harassed and have a sense of helplessness, that we will collectively move together to be able to help them. And then this morning, what we want to talk about is this: when you see as God sees, you will move to action. Now, we've been looking at some writings from a man named Paul. He's been writing to the Corinthians, a church in Corinth. I like to say that he was probably the first multi-site guy that started this whole thing. And he planted a church in Corinth, and he's writing a letter to keep them on track, because we have a tendency to lose our focus. Would you agree with me? And we learn that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says this. He says that he has been given an area of influence to reach people, but he hopes that their faith is increasing so that collectively they can move together to be able to reach larger areas. And so here's what we're saying. Each of us have an area of influence. We talked about the seven streams or the seven mountains, that there's seven streams or mountains in our society that if you and I would influence for God, we could change our world. If you'd like for our world to be a better place, then you need to accept your area of influence. We said one is the church. One would be government. One would be arts and entertainment. One would be the media. One would be business, the business world, the marketplace. One would be education, and one would be the family. And so that includes all of us. And we all have an area of influence that God wants you and I to move in so that His honor and His glory would be felt and seen, and so that we can make a difference for Him. This morning, we want to specifically talk about seeing as God sees, so that we will move to action. And Paul is writing to the Corinth church again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here's what he's discussing. He's discussing what we just sung about. That is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he is telling them, he says, I have taught you this, and this is what you have taken your stand on. But now there seems to be people among you who are doubting the resurrection. They're doubting whether or not Jesus Christ really lived, died, was buried, and rose again. And so he's addressing them in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he's correcting them, and he is saying, you have to understand that Christ did live, that he did die on a cross for your sins and for my sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And so he's writing this to them, and he is saying, you have to understand the truth about this matter. Now, the reason why we need to talk about it is because there's a lot of people today who don't believe in the resurrection. There's people who believe today that once you die, that's the end. Once your candle goes out, you know, you cease to exist. But we would not believe that. I would not believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that everybody spends forever somewhere, either in the presence of a loving God who sent his one and only Son to die for them so that they could be forgiven of their sins, or separated from him. And God allows you and I to choose. And yet in Paul's day, the same as in our day, there would be people who think that once your candle goes out, you cease to exist. You go back to the ground and nothing else happens. There's no rewards. There's no consequences. You're just unconscious forever and ever. And Paul would say, that's not true. That's not how it's going to go down. And yet, if we believe that once your candle goes out, once you take your last breath here on earth, that's the end, the results are staggering. Life altogether loses its meaning. And Paul says, if there isn't a resurrection, why does anything in life really matter then? And so look what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 32 and 34. It'll come up on the screen. He says this: if the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Now check what he says, okay? Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. And I say this to your shame. He is saying here, if the dead are not raised, then you know what? Well, then let's just eat, drink, and be merry. Let's just throw caution to the wind. Let's just do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it, however we want to do it, as often as we want to do it. Because you know what? There's no resurrection, so there's no what? There's no accountability. And so he's saying, if that's true in what you're believing, then yeah, go ahead and eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. But then he says this, but don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. What is he saying? He is saying that if you constantly hang around people who believe that there is no resurrection and that we are not going to be held accountable for our lives, then you know what? You will be drawn into their life of philosophy just to eat, drink, and be merry. And what he says here is this: come back to your senses. You know that's not true. You know that Jesus lived. You know that Jesus died. You know that Jesus was buried. You know that Jesus was raised from the dead. Because this is only 25 years after Jesus walked on earth. And so there were still eyewitnesses to the account that Jesus lived and died and rose again. And he's saying, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some of you who are ignorant of God. He's saying, you don't really understand. You don't really know God. You don't see as God sees. And when you and I don't see as God sees, we won't do what he asks of you and me. And he says, I say this to your shame. And what he is saying is this: you should know better. Don't be ignorant of who God is. He is God. And so I would encourage you and I to be able to understand this unbelievable truth. And we would realize, you know what? There is a resurrection. There is a day of where all of mankind, I'm going to show it to you here in a moment, are going to stand before God. And the first thing that we're going to give an account for is, what did you do with the person of Jesus Christ? Did you accept him as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life? And then the second question that God is going to ask of us is this: and what did you do with your life? And that's what Paul's argument is here. And he is saying here that when you and I see as God sees, we will be moved to action. We will be moved to action. Otherwise, let's just eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. And so let's look at what Paul says here at the end of the chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Once he gives this argument, okay, that Christ did die, he was buried, he was resurrected. Look what he says there. He says, therefore, my dear brothers. Now, why is he saying therefore? Therefore is in light of what I just said. I've just given you an argument. I've just reminded you. I've just called you back to your senses that Jesus did live. He did die. He was buried. And he rose again. In light of that truth, that we are not candles that just go out and cease to exist once we take our last breath. No, you have a spirit that's going to live forever, and it's going to spend forever somewhere. He says, in light of that, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And so what is he saying? He is saying being moved to action always involves certain things. When we see as God sees, we will do as God says, and it will always involve certain things. Here's the first thing that he would say that it would involve. It would involve a sense of steadfastness and immovable. Steadfast and immovable. Being moved to action involves being steadfast and immovable. Seeing as God sees that Jesus did live, died, buried, and was resurrected, you need to be steadfast and immovable. Now, the question becomes this. Steadfast and immovable about what? About what you know to be true. About what you know to be true. The word steadfast here refers to your internal beliefs. It refers to your worldview. It refers to what your life is going to be centered around. He is saying, be steadfast in your worldview. Be steadfast in what you're going to center your life around. And what is he calling us to center our life around? The fact that Jesus lived, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. You see, listen, all of us here this morning have a worldview. You have a worldview. That is, why is all this stuff happening? You see, here's my worldview. There's a God. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise. He created mankind. And when he had everything the way that he wanted, he said it was good. And man chose to rebel against God. And so he severed his relationship with God. And so man has acted independently of God. And so now not everything is good. And yet God so loved mankind that he sent his son to restore that relationship so that you and I could be reconciled, so that we could be made right with God. And he did that through the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why Christ came and he lived a life that was sinless. And then he died on a cross for my sins and for your sins. And then he was buried and then he rose again so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins and so that you and I could live with him forever and ever. And so God himself takes on our punishment for our wrongdoing. And now when we trust him as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, he comes and he dwells in us. And he wants us to live our life for him. That's my worldview, and that we're going to spend forever somewhere. And so you have a worldview, and what he is saying is this, be steadfast in that. And then he says, be immovable. And what he is saying is, this is where you and I are going to, we're going to receive pressure from the outside world. Mason, you don't really believe that, do you? You really believe that God came to earth? God was incarnated, that Jesus was born of a virgin, and that he lived a sinless life. Nobody can live a sinless life. Look at us. And that he willingly died on a cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins, and that if we place our faith and trust in him, that we will be forgiven of all of our... You don't believe that, do you? Come on. And what he is saying is, you better be immovable about that. You better know what you believe and then stand firm in it. And that's what he is saying here. He is saying here, be steadfast. That about what? About your belief that there is a resurrection. There is going to be a reckoning. There is going to be a time of where we give an account for our life here on earth. And then he says, be immovable. That is, Once you have come to believe that and you know that, you're going to have family, you're going to have friends, you're going to have a whole lot of people around you who may differ with you, but you need to lovingly say, hey, you know what, this is what I believe. Because listen, all of us are putting our chips on something. Would you agree with me? You don't have to be nasty. You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be mean. All you can say is, listen, you're betting your life on the fact that Jesus Christ isn't who he says he is. I am. I'm pushing all of my chips to the center of the table, and I am saying there is a resurrection. I am saying that Jesus Christ lived, died, was buried, and rose again. And you're just choosing to put your chips on the fact that we're just going to cease to exist. And so Paul would say, in light of what you know, be steadfast, be immovable. Look what he says here. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so what is Paul saying here? It's easy for you and I to give way to the eat, drink, and be merry philosophy. Would you agree with me? So you and I have to be mentally tough. Because in our society, it's very tempting to have that mindset. Let's just eat, drink, and be merry. It would make life a whole lot easier. Would you agree with me? It would be so convenient that absolutely nothing happens beyond the grave. I have to confess to you, you know, I am tempted sometime to go the way of eat, drink, and be merry. I am. There's times when I'm alone. There's times when I'm in the car and I just want to say, you know what? I just want to blow off all my commitments. I want to blow off my commitment to God. I want to blow off my commitment to people. I just want to go the eat, drink, and be merry way. Because it's a whole lot easier. It's a lot less demanding. And yet Paul is saying here, you have to be steadfast. He is saying, Dwight, don't let anything move you off of that block. There is a resurrection. Jesus did live. He did die. He was buried. And he rose again. And you know what? You will stand before God. And yet I have to confess to you, there's times I just want to live for myself. I want to indulge all of the desires that come across my brainwave. Wow. I want to blow off my commitments. I want to stop caring for people. I want to stop caring about the condition of our world. There's times I want to set God aside and I just want to do my own thing. And I want to believe that there is no resurrection. And sometimes, honestly, confession, I wish it wasn't true. Because then I wouldn't have to be concerned about the people that I love. I wouldn't have to be concerned about my family. I wouldn't have to be concerned where my kids are going to spend eternity. And yet, this is telling me, Dwight, don't you dare. You better be steadfast, man. Don't let anything move you off the focus that there is a resurrection and that all of us, all of mankind, you will, your kids will, if they have kids, their kids will stand before a holy God and give an account. And yet, if I could go on with this, my observation is some of us, not all of us, but some of us have a low sense of urgency about the lives of the people that we say that we love. We're in the eat, drink, and be merry mode. And there's not a sense of urgency. There's not a sense, we don't look at our family. We don't look at our friends. We don't look at our coworkers as people who's going to spend forever somewhere. And what happens, we're not steadfast. And we're not immovable. And so we get sucked into the world's philosophy. Just eat, drink, and be merry. And what I would say to all of us this morning is keep your sense of urgency. Realize that you need to be steadfast. You need to remind yourself. That's why we meet on Sunday. You know what this is called? This is not called the Sabbath, by the way. Do you know that? This is called the Lord's Day. It's the day that Jesus Christ was resurrected. The Sabbath, in the purest sense of the word, was yesterday. It's the last day of the week. This isn't the last day of the week. This is the first day of the week. And so you know what we do? We come and we gather and we sing. Why? so that we can remain steadfast and immovable. And we say, hey, you know what? We're worshiping God on the first day of the week. It's called the Lord's Day. And the reason why we're worshiping here today is we're reminding all of ourselves of this one reality. There is a resurrection. And all of us will stand before God and give an account. So don't be ignorant. Don't be misled. Don't go the way of eat, drink, and be merry, thinking that somehow when your candle goes out, when my candle goes out, it is the end. Paul would say, in light of the resurrection, let's don't do that. And so I encourage you, be steadfast and immovable about this fact. Let it create a sense of urgency. Let it create tension in your life. Let it call you to a commitment of saying, hey, you know what? Yes, this is true. And you know what? I'm going to give my life to it. And so Paul would say, be steadfast, immovable in this. And he would say this as well. Being moved to action not only involves being steadfast and immovable, but it means being fully engaged. Look what he says here. Always giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord. He is saying here, you need to be steadfast and immovable, and you need to be fully engaged. You need to always be giving yourself fully to the Lord. Not when you have time, not when you get around to it, not when it is convenient, not when it suits your schedule. He is saying, you and I should always be fully involved in the work of the Lord. Why? Because everybody spends forever somewhere. So what he is saying is that this is not moonlighting. This is not a moonlighting thing. You know, when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world and make disciples, basically what he is saying is as you go about your business, as you go to work, as you go to the ball games, as you go to the mall, as you do your life, be salt and light. Be very, very aware that you are rubbing shoulders with people who are going to spend forever somewhere. And if you're not steadfast and immovable about it, you will get sucked into our world's philosophy of just eating and drinking and being merry. And you will lose the urgency that everybody is going to spend forever somewhere. And so he would say here, always give yourself fully to the work. He says, always abound in the work of the Lord. It doesn't say every once in a while get intense, okay? He says, we need to do that. Why? Because Jesus would tell us in John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus would say that we need to work while it is still day because night is coming when no man shall what? Shall work. See, listen, there's going to come a time for the people that are in your life, you're not going to be able to influence them anymore. They're going to be dead. You're going to go to their funeral. You're going to bury them. And you know what? You're not going to be able to change anything in their life then. And that's why he says I need to be fully engaged because we only have a certain amount of time. You know, I was talking to somebody earlier this morning about, quote unquote, the end times. And they asked, you know, are you going to preach about the end times sometime? I said, I doubt it because I think the end times are right now. We're burying people right and left, aren't we? Every day, every week, every month. It's coming to an end. And what happens is we don't have a sense of that. We think that one another, we're shocked when people die, are we not? Why should it shock us? I think the rate is pretty strong, 100%, isn't it? Other than maybe a few throw-ins like Elijah and Jesus, okay? But the fact of the matter is we're all going to die. It's just a matter of when. I like to say this, no one knows how old they are. Because if you're 30 years old and you're going to die at the age of 32, you're an old man. And if you're 70 years old and you're going to live to be 95, you're a pretty young man. But Paul would say, in light of the resurrection, be steadfast and immovable and be fully engaged in your work. Paul is saying that there is a resurrection and we're all going to stand before a holy God who created us and who loves us and who even died for us. Think about that. And one day, you and I are going to fully grasp this. You're going to fully grasp this whole thing. Scripture says that when we see him, we will know him. That means that we will see as God sees. The only problem with that, we won't be able to do anything about it because time will be no more. And so in that moment, when you and I stand before a God that's holy and that is loving and that has created us and that has died for us, you want to be able to look at him and say, you know what? I was fully engaged. I was fully engaged in what you gave me to do. I served you. I gave to you. I loved you. I influenced people for you. That's what you want. That's what I want. And you begin to realize that, you know what? Hey, I'm going to give an account for my time and my talent and my treasure. And yet maybe for that first moment, you might sit there and stand there and you might say, oh, man, I wish I only would have understood this more clearly. That's why Paul says in the scripture that we read this morning, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. Maybe you will stand there and you said, you know what? My main thing was to eat, drink, and be merry. My main thing was to chase money. My main thing was to chase pleasure. My main thing was to chase power. My main thing was to chase positions. And how I regret that now. And so Paul would say, listen, there is a resurrection. You're going to give an account. I'm going to give an account. And he says, so be steadfast about that, be immovable, and be fully engaged in the work of the Lord. Look what Paul says here in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. It'll come up here on the screen. Here's what he says here. He says, but none of these things move me. What things? The things that move everybody else, okay? None of these things move me, neither do I esteem my life dear to myself, if only I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have obtained, from which was entrusted to me by, let's go on, the Lord Jesus, faithfully to attest to the good news, the gospel of God's grace, his unmerited favor, spiritual blessing, and mercy. What Paul is saying is this, the thing that really moves me is to be able to help people understand that there is a God. He's not angry at you. He's not mad at you. He's in love with you. He loved you so much that he died for your sins and my sins, that we could be forgiven and that we could not only have life here on earth, but we could have life forever. He says, that's what really moves me. And that's why I am fully engaged in the work of the Lord. That's why Paul wrote this to the Corinth church. Look at this next verse here in 2 Corinthians. He says this to the Corinth church as he writes them. If we are out of our mind, as some say, see, some people thought Paul was crazy, like some of you think I'm crazy. Y'all okay? All right? Because when somebody is steadfast and immovable and they're fully engaged in God, people think you're crazy. Why do they think that you're crazy? Because they don't understand the resurrection. They're living for today. It's like I told a gentleman when we were in a restaurant, we were engaged in a conversation, and I told him, I said, let me tell you the difference between me and everybody else in this room. He said, what is it? You have a vision for 100 years. I have a vision for eternity. See, most people don't live beyond the grave in their mind. They just think that we're living for what? A short period of time. And so when you live for eternity, people think you're out of your mind. So let's look at this verse again. Here's what he says here. If we are out of our mind, as some says, it's for God. Why? Because we're seeing as God sees. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels me. You see, once you know that you're forgiven of your sins and that you have eternal life, you have to be fully engaged. You become concerned with where people are going to spend eternity. Because we are convinced. Here's what we're convinced of. One died for all, and therefore what? All die. Wow. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So Paul is right there again. He's saying, let me tell you why you think I'm nuts. I believe that all are going to die. But I believe that there was a man who died for all. And when we trust him as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, we have eternal life. And so Paul would say, in light of the resurrection, that Jesus lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again, be steadfast and immovable. Don't let anybody move you off of it. Matter of fact, all the temptations, and I'm tempted to move off of it. I'm tempted to go and do my own thing. You don't know how often I've been tempted to resign and just say, you know what, I'm going to blow all of this stuff off and just go live for myself. All of us fight that because that's the pull of the world in which we live in. And so even your pastor has that. But I have to be steadfast. I have to say, no. Mason, listen to the truth. Listen to this truth. Be steadfast and immovable about it. Be fully engaged. And then here's the third thing. Be driven by eternity. Be driven by eternity. Why would somebody give themselves fully to this? Well, look what he says here. Knowing that in the Lord your labor is not what? In vain. Now, there's a lot of things that you and I do that are in vain. There's a lot of things that you and I can participate that are in vain. Wouldn't you agree with me? Everything that you and I do, though, that advances God's kingdom and his truth, what he says here, no matter how small, no matter how big, no matter how visible to other people or invisible, no matter whether it succeeds or fails, here's what you can count on in life. It's never in vain. Now, listen, if you invest in the stock market and it goes belly up, it's in vain, right? You lose everything. Let's say that you invest in the things of God and we fail in one way or another. It never bellies up. Because God says whatever you and I do, even if it fails, he acknowledges it and one day he will reward you and me. And so what he is saying here is be driven by eternity. Realize that you're going to spend more time on that side of the grave than you are on this side of the grave. And whatever you do for God, it's never in vain. Never in vain. Now, Solomon, okay, we're going to look at him in the next series. The wisest man ever. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And you know what he chased? He chased pleasure. He chased power. He chased possession. And he chased prestige. And you know what? 38 times in the book of Ecclesiastes, he uses the word vanity. You know what he's saying? It was all vanity. It never delivered what I thought it was going to deliver. Here's the wealthiest man in the world. And he said, you know what? I had a philosophy in my time of eat, drink, and be merry. And you know what? It led me to depression. It led me to where I threw up my hands and I said, life is meaningless. And Paul is reminding the people here at Corinth, he is saying, be driven by eternity. Realize that everything you do, no matter how small, no matter how great, it's never in vain, that God will remember it. Jesus said it like this. Look what he says here in Matthew 16:26. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? What's the whole world? Pleasure, power, prestige, and position. And forfeits his life, his blessed life in the kingdom of God. Or what would a man give in exchange for his blessed life in the kingdom of God? You see, listen, what happens is we're making an exchange every day. Do you know that? You're exchanging your life for something in the next life. You okay with that? Let me explain it to you this way. If you would go back and you would read about Saddam Hussein, you remember him? How many of us would agree the guy was crazy, okay? You may think he was crazy, but he had a slice of wisdom in him. And here's the slice of wisdom. He knew that when the Gulf War was going to happen, that the economy in Iraq was going to what? Just be destroyed. So you know what he did? He took all of his Iraqi dollars and money and exchanged it for U.S. currency. Do you remember when they found millions and millions of dollars stashed away? You remember that? Almost $1 billion. This guy, what he did is he knew that his world, his kingdom, was coming to an end, and he thought, you know what? If the Iraqi economy is going to go down, I better make the exchange before it happens. And so he took all of his money and exchanged it for U.S. currency. You know what I would say? That's smooth. That's sly. That's wise. And that's what Jesus is saying here. See, when you die and I die, we're going to move into a whole new economy. It's going to be the kingdom of God economy. And what he is saying is now is the time for you and I to make that exchange. That's why he says this. He says, be steadfast, immovable. Be fully engaged and be driven by eternity. Why? Let's look at what Paul says and then I'm done. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who must appear before the judgment seat of Christ? All. That would be all, right? All means all, okay? So each of us, this is personal, may receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Wow. Now here's what you need to understand, okay? He's talking about the judgment seat of Christ, okay? He's not talking about the white throne judgment. You say, well, what's the difference? The white throne judgment is for those who have not accepted Jesus Christ, okay? The judgment seat of Christ is not a judicial court, okay? It's more like an awards banquet, all right? It's more like an awards banquet. And so what happens is you come, I come, and I stand before God, and I get rewarded for what I have done while I'm in the what? The body. That's awards. And he says, Mason, you know what? You were steadfast, you were immovable, you were fully engaged, you were driven by eternity. Here's your rewards. Okay? Or he may say, you know what, Mason? You were shaky at best. Okay? You were not fully engaged. You know, you picked your spots. And you know what? You were more of an eat, drink, and be merry dude. I love you. You're still in heaven. But here's your reward. Here's your reward. Very small. You see, why do we do what we do? You're saved by grace. You need to understand that. There's nothing you can do to have one of your sins forgiven, but you're judged by your works. And so Paul would say this, being moved to action requires being steadfast and immovable about what you believe. And listen to me, every single one of us here are tempted to live the eat, drink, and be merry life. Your pastor is. Every staff person is. Billy Graham is. We're all there. That's why you have to be mentally tough. We need to be fully engaged and saying, God, I want to be used by you however. That's why we're doing the 10 by 20. People think I'm crazy. People think we're crazy. Why? Because they don't believe everybody spends forever somewhere. And then we need to be driven by eternity. We need to say, hey, you know what? Nothing that I do. There's nothing else you can say this about in this world. Nothing that I do for God will be forgotten. It's never, never in vain. And so this is what moves me. This is what keeps me on track when I want to throw in the towel and I just want to live for Dwight and I just want to satisfy every desire that comes across my brainwave. All the selfish things. I come back to this. No, Dwight, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in the Lord is never in vain. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And God, I know there have been too many times in my life that I've wanted to go the eat, drink, and be merry life. And I want to believe that there is no resurrection and that somehow after we die is just the end and we all just return to dust and we live in an unconscious state. And yet, you know what? Your word would say that is not true. Your word would say that, Dwight, you're going to give an account for what you've done in the body. Not for my sins, they're forgiven. But whether the good or the bad, whether I used it wisely or whether I used it unwisely. And God, I want to be one, and I know many of us, if not all of us here today, want to be one that would say, you know what, we did that which was wise. We were steadfast, immovable, we were fully engaged, and we were driven by eternity, not by pleasure or power or prestige or position. So help us to be able to see as you see, so we will do what you have said. In Jesus' name, amen.